Welcome to day 162 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California. Today we will be reading from the Amplified Bible and we'll do so for the rest of this week. We are reading the story of Solomon and how he began to build the house of the Lord, or the great temple of Solomon. Today we will hear the accounts of the building project from 1 Kings chapters 5 and 6, and also another account that was written in 2 Chronicles chapters 2 and 3. So beginning today at 1 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon when he heard that he was anointed king in place of his father, for Hiram always loved David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, "You know how David my father could not build a house to the name of the Lord his God, because wars were about him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil confronting me. And I purpose to build a house to the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord said to David my father, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, shall build the house to my name and presence.' So Hiram, command them to hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon. My servants shall join yours, and I will give you whatever wages you set for your servants. For you know that no one among us can equal the skill of the Sidon men in cutting timber." When Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord this day, who has given David a wise son to be over this great people." And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, "I have considered the things for which you sent to me. I will do all you wish concerning the cedar and cypress timber. My servants shall bring the logs down from Lebanon to the sea, make them into rafts, and float them by sea to the place that you direct. I will have them released there, and you shall take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by providing food for my household." So Hiram gave Solomon all the cedar and cypress trees he desired, and Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food for his household, and 20 measures of pure beaten oil. He gave these to Hiram yearly. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and they made a treaty. King Solomon raised a levy of forced labor out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men. He sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by divisions. 1 month they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at home. Adoniram was over the levy. And Solomon had 70,000 burden bearers and 80,000 hewers of stone in the hill country of Judah, besides Solomon's 3,300 overseers in charge of the people doing the work. The king commanded, and they hewed and brought out great costly stones in order to lay the foundation of the house with dressed stone. Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders and the men of Gebal did the hewing and prepared the timber and stones to build the house. Chapter 6. And 480 years after the Israelites came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the second month, Ziv, he began to build the Lord's house. The length of the house Solomon built for the Lord was 60 cubits, its breadth 20, and its height 30 cubits. The length of the vestibule in front of the temple was 20 cubits, equal to the width of the house, and its depth in front of the house was 10 cubits. For the house, he made narrow latticed windows. Against the wall of the house, he built chambers running round the walls of the house, both of the holy place and of the holy of holies, and he made side chambers all around. The first story's side chambers were 5 cubits wide, those of the middle story 6 cubits wide, and of the third story 7 cubits wide. For around the outside of the wall of the house, he made offsets in order that the supporting beams should not be thrust into the walls of the house. When the house was being built, its stone was made ready at the quarry, and no hammer, axe, or tool of iron was heard in the house while it was in building. The entrance to the lowest side chamber was on the right or south side of the house, and one went up winding stairs into the middle chamber, and from the middle into the third. So Solomon built the temple building and finished it, and roofed the house with beams and boards of cedar. Then he built the stories of chambers, the lean-to, against all the house, each story 5 cubits high, and it was joined to the house with timbers of cedar. Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, "Concerning this house which you are building, if you will walk in my statutes, execute my precepts, and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then I will fulfill to you my promises which I made to David your father. And I will dwell among the Israelites, and will not forsake my people Israel." So Solomon built the house and finished it. He built the walls of the house, the holy place, and the holy of holies within with boards of cedar from the floor of the house to the rafters of the ceiling. He covered the inside with wood and the floor of the house with boards of cypress. He built 20 cubits of the rear of the house with boards of cedar from the floor to the rafters. He built it within for the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. The rest of the house, that is, the temple in front of the Holy of Holies, was 40 cubits long. The cedar on the house within was carved with gourds and open flowers. All was cedar. No stone was visible. And he prepared the Holy of Holies in the inner room in which to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The Holy of Holies was 20 cubits in length, in breadth, and in height. He overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid the cedar altar. Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold, and he drew chains of gold across in front of the Holy of Holies and overlaid it with gold. And the whole house he overlaid with gold until all the house was finished. Also, the whole incense altar that stood outside the door but belonged to the Holy of Holies, he overlaid with gold. Within the Holy of Holies, he made 2 cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. 5 cubits was the length of one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits its other wing. From the tip of one wing to the tip of the other was 10 cubits. The wings of the other cherub were also 10 cubits. Both cherubim were the same, the height of one cherub 10 cubits, as was the other. He put the cherubim within the inner sanctuary. Their wings were stretched out so that the wing of one touched one wall and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their inner wings touched in the midst of the room. Solomon overlaid the cherubim with gold. He carved all the walls of the house, these 2 holy rooms, round about with figures of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, within and without. The floor of the house he overlaid with gold inside and out. For the Holy of Holies he made folding doors of olive wood Their entire width was one-fifth that of the wall. On the two doors of olive wood, he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. He overlaid them with gold and spread gold on the cherubim and palm trees. Also, he made for the door of the holy place four-sided posts of olive wood. The two doors were of cypress wood. The two leaves of each door were folding. He carved on them cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, covered with gold evenly applied on the carved work. He built the inner court with three rows of hewn stone and a row of cedar beams. In the fourth year, the foundation of the Lord's house was laid in the second month, Ziv. In the 11th year, in Bul, the 8th month, the house was finished throughout according to all its specifications. So he was 7 years in building it. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1. Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal capital. And Solomon counted out 70,000 men to bear burdens, 80,000 to be stone cutters in the hill country, and 3,600 overseers. And Solomon sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, saying, "As you dealt with David my father and sent him cedars to build himself a house in which to dwell, even so deal with me. Behold, I am about to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, dedicated to him for the burning of incense of sweet spices before him, for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God, as ordained forever for Israel. The house which I am to build is great, for our God is greater than all gods. But who is able to build him a house, since heaven, even highest heaven, cannot contain him? Who am I to build him a house, except as a place to burn incense in worship before him? Now therefore, send a man skilled to work in gold, silver, bronze, and iron, and in purple, crimson, and blue colors, who is a trained engraver, to work with the skilled men who are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father provided. Send me also from Lebanon cedar, cypress, and algum timber, for I know your servants can skillfully cut timber in Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, to prepare for me timber in abundance, for the house I am about to build shall be great and wonderful. And I will give to your servants who cut timber 20,000 measures of crushed wheat and also of barley, and 20,000 baths of wine and also of oil." Then Hiram, king of Tyre, replied in writing, sent to Solomon, "Because the Lord loves his people, he has made you king over them." Hiram said also, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who made heaven and earth, who has given to David, the king, a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, who should build a house for the Lord and a royal palace as his capital. Now I have sent a skilled man, endued with understanding, even Huram Abi, my trusted counselor, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan. His father was a man of Tyre. He is a trained worker in gold, silver, bronze, iron, stone, and wood, in purple, blue, and crimson colors, and in fine linen, and also to engrave any type of engraving, and to carry out any design given to him with your skilled men and those of my lord David your father. Now, therefore, the wheat, barley, oil, and wine of which my lord has spoken, let him send them to his servants, and we will cut whatever timber you need from Lebanon and bring it to you in rafts by sea to Joppa, so you may take it up to Jerusalem." Then Solomon took a census of all the aliens in the land of Israel, like the census of them which his father David had taken. they were found to be 153,600. And he assigned 70,000 of them to be burden bearers, 80,000 to work in the mountain quarries, and 3,600 as overseers to direct the people's work. Chapter 3. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared to David his father, in the place that David had appointed on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And Solomon began to build on the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. Now these are the measurements for the foundations which Solomon laid for the house of God. The length in cubits by the former measure was 60 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits. The porch or vestibule across the front of the house was the same length as the house breadth, 20 cubits, and the height 120 cubits. He overlaid it inside with pure gold. And the greater house, the holy place, he lined with cypress and overlaid it with fine gold and made palm trees and chains on it. And he adorned the house with precious stones for beauty, and the gold was gold of Parvaim. He lined the house, the holy place, its beams, thresholds, walls, and doors with gold, and engraved cherubim on the walls. He made the most holy place, its length equaling the breadth of the house, 20 cubits, and its breadth, 20 cubits. He overlaid it with 600 talents of fine gold. The weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold, and he lined the upper chambers with gold. And in the most holy place, he made two cherubim of image work, and they were overlaid with gold. And the wings of the cherubim combined extended 20 cubits. One wing of one cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house, and its other wing of 5 cubits touched the other cherub's wing. And of the other cherub, one wing was 5 cubits, touched the wall of the house, and the other wing, also 5 cubits, joined the wing of the first cherub. The wings of these cherubim extended 20 cubits. The cherubim stood on their feet, their faces toward the holy place, and he made the veil between the holy place and the most holy place of blue, purple, and crimson colors, and fine linen and embroidered cherubim on it. Before the house, he made two pillars, 35 cubits high, with a capital on the top of each, which was 5 cubits. He made chains like a necklace and put them on the heads of the pillars, and he made 100 pomegranates and put them on the chains. He erected the pillars before the temple, one on the right, the other on the left, and called the one on the right Jachin, he shall establish, and the one on the left Boaz. In it is strength. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's scripture reading, we heard one of the most amazing stories, the story of the building of Solomon's temple to the Lord. Now, this story and this temple was quite a wonder in its day. And even in our current society, if such a building was built, it would be a wonder simply because of the sheer amount of gold that was used to cover all of the inside of the temple and all the furnishings, etc. It wouldn't be a wonder in terms of the size. There are many modern buildings that would be quite a bit larger. The temple itself and its compound would cover approximately 2 football fields. And certainly there are some massive buildings today that are larger than that. But just to give you a little bit of information about this amazing building project from the time of King Solomon, you can understand that Solomon's temple was built patterned after Moses' tabernacle, the tabernacle that was used in the wilderness, and then, of course, by King David as well. But it was about twice the size. Of course, it was considerably more ornate and elaborate and costly due to the use of the amount of gold that was 100,000 talents of gold. And then, of course, the cedar and cypress wood that it was used, as well as the phenomenal carved stones that were used in the foundation and in the walls. So, this was an extensive building project that took over 7 years to complete. If you considered current valuation for gold at this time of this recording, you could translate that 100,000 talents of gold, which each talent was 120 pounds, and if you translated that into the current gold value, which is over $1,400 an ounce, then this building project, just the gold, the value of the gold that was used, would be in excess of $300 billion, just the gold. Then there was 1,000,000 talents of silver, which again would put the valuation of that in the billions of dollars worth of silver. And the interesting thing to me about the use of silver in Solomon's day, there was so much silver in Israel at the time of Solomon that the Word of God tells us that silver was like nothing in Jerusalem. It was like stones, according to 1 Kings 10 and 2 Chronicles 9. It was considered almost worthless, even though today we still consider it a precious metal. And it is. And yet it was so common. It was like stones on the road to Solomon's court. And yet they used a phenomenal amount of silver in the temple fixtures and furnishings and utensils. So if you added to the gold and the silver all the other construction materials, it would be very difficult to put a value, but it's in the hundreds of billions of dollars in the actual current day valuation of Solomon's temple. So it was a wonder because of its incredible expense. Imagine that the Israelites, they were a pastoral people, meaning that they were keepers of cattle and goats and donkeys and sheep, and lived in very simple houses, most likely made of mud with thatch roofs. Not unlike in East Africa today, the Maasai people. They are a pastoral people. They live in houses made of mud and thatch roofs. So it wasn't unlike that day in terms of a very simple lifestyle. Can you imagine coming into Jerusalem and seeing this magnificent site of Solomon's temple, and then entering it and seeing the gold that covered the walls and covered the floor and covered all the furnishings? It would be a wonder to them and to anyone from any land that came to see the marvelous site that was Solomon's temple. And we know from the scriptures that people did indeed come from the ends of the earth to see Solomon, hear his wisdom, but also to see the works that he accomplished. And one of them was the temple that he had built for the Lord. But from today's reading, there is a single verse that I want to bring to your attention because it has a very profound meaning for us today. And it is a verse from 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. And that verse reads this way: "When the house was being built, its stone was made ready at the quarry, and no hammer, axe, or tool of iron was heard in the house while it was in building." Now that may seem like an odd verse to bring to your attention, but I want you to consider this. If you've ever been to a construction site, then you can for sure understand that it's a noisy place. You're going to hear banging of hammers and saws and blaring of radios of the construction workers and truck engines and all kinds of movement and noise that comes in the constructing of a very large building. And if those who were hewing the stones that would be set into the foundation and then also placed in the walls of the temple, if the ones who were the hewers of those stones, and they used very primitive tools, hammers, iron tools, it would be a noisy place as well, though from different types of tools, not electric tools as we have today. But it would certainly be a place where banging and clanging would be going on. But here the scripture tells us that they did something very interesting, that Solomon did not allow for any sound of a hammer, axe, or tool of iron to be heard while the Temple of Solomon was being built. He required that all the stone be dressed, as they refer to it as, or prepared at the quarry. Wherever they were digging the stone out of the quarry, they had to prepare the stones there. So they made them into, if it was perfect squares or perfect rectangles, whatever it was, they were finished and polished at the quarry before being brought to the temple site. And then when they were placed into the foundation or placed into the wall, everything fit together perfectly without any sound of hammering and iron tools and noise. It was silent. It was perfect. It was harmonious. Everything was set into its place. And here were the temple walls going up in a sweet, beautiful, quiet, and peaceful manner. Can you imagine a construction site being a peaceful place, a quiet place? That's exactly what you would have found if you had walked into the construction site where Solomon's temple was being built. Now, why am I bringing this to your attention? We are told in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, these interesting words: "Coming to him as to a living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So this scripture tells us that believers today, believers who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, are living stones that are being built up into a spiritual house. Now, we know that Solomon's temple was a symbol, so to speak, or a type of the true house of God, the real temple, which is the church. And that church is the people, not the building. It's the people. And we also know that God's presence or his spirit resides in his people. And in Solomon's day, and we will hear this in the next few chapters, the presence of God literally descended, the Shekinah glory of God descended and hovered over the mercy seat in the ark in the Holy of Holies, so that the people the priests, all of them, they couldn't even stand to serve the Lord or to minister to the Lord. They all fell to the ground because of the presence of God was so strong inside the temple, hovering over the mercy seat of the ark. Now we are the real temple. We are the true house of God. We have the Holy Spirit residing inside of us in our spirit. So we are the living stones that make up God's spiritual temple. So we can look at Solomon's temple as a type or shadow or symbol of what God was really trying to do. He allowed Solomon and David, who really made all the preparation for that temple, to build a natural temple, a temple that was made of stone and wood and gold and so many other things. And he allowed him to build this temple, and then God himself allowed his spirit to descend and be present there. But it was a symbol of what was to come. That was the Old Testament, and now we in the New Testament are the living stones that make up the spiritual house that God is building today. Now think about this. The temple walls were made of beautiful polished stones, most likely limestone, but it was beautiful to the eyes when anyone would take a look at that building. In fact, there's a historical record by the great Jewish historian named Josephus who wrote about it, and he said this: "Now the whole structure of the temple was made with great skill of polished stones, and those laid together so very harmoniously and smoothly that there appeared to the spectators no sign of any hammer or other instrument of architecture, but as if without any use of them, the entire materials had naturally united themselves together, that the agreement of one part with another seemed rather to have been natural than to have arisen from the force of tools upon them." Now that's an interesting statement from an outside observer. Josephus was a very famous Jewish historian talking about that period of Jewish history. Now I want you to consider this picture. When God completes his true temple, which is made up of all the living stones, of all the people who have placed their trust in Christ, who've come from all over the world, it will be like stones that came from different quarries, so to speak. And they will have come from different parts of the earth. And maybe they're of different types of stone and different types of material. And yet when God puts it all together, it will be, as Josephus said, so very harmonious, so very smooth. And that there will be no appearance of any hammer or other instrument having made it look the way that it looks. But it will just be as if it was a natural thing and just came together so perfectly. And this is the way it is with God. You know, he has so many different types of people all over the earth who love him, who serve him, who have come from different backgrounds, different tribes and tongues and nations and languages. And yet God is placing them all together, and yet he has worked on them. Think about it. Like those stones were worked on in the quarry, the hammer and the iron chisel worked on them, and there was pain involved for the stone for sure. And so it is with us. When God works on us and he's preparing us to be part of the living temple that is his house, don't resist the hammer or the iron tool that God uses to prepare you, to smooth you, to polish you, so that you will fit perfectly and harmoniously into the house of God. You know, wherever you are, whatever part of the world you're in, whatever trial or tribulation you may be going through, allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to do the work where you are. Let him smooth off any rough places in your life. Let him polish you so that there's no roughness in your spirit, in your personality, that doesn't allow you to harmoniously fit with all the other stones. God's preparing you wherever you are for the day when he will put us all together. And certainly sometimes the things we go through, the trials, are difficult. Sometimes we have to receive correction from God, and it is not pleasant. And yet it's important for us not to resist that, but to allow the Lord to do that work, so that when that day comes, he can build his holy temple, that spiritual temple, and it will bring glory to the Lord, the builder of that temple. It will bring him honor and it will bring him praise. In fact, Ephesians 2:21 refers to this when it says, "In him," referring to the Lord, "the whole structure is joined together harmoniously, and it continues to rise into a holy temple in the Lord." And it's a reference to God's people, in whom the whole building, that's us, we're the building or the temple of God, being fitted together. God's fitting us together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. All of us have a place in the temple of God, so to speak. We all have a purpose. And just like there's flooring and there's walls and there's support beams and all of it, we all have a place in the holy temple of God. And God is assembling us all together perfectly. That's why I say to you, wherever God is preparing you, whatever quarry you're in whatever part of the world you're in whatever place in life you are, let the master builder do the work in your life. Don't resist it. Don't resist the hammer or the chisel. Let the Lord prepare you so that you can be fitly framed together, perfectly joined and knit together, so that when that day comes, you're ready to be part and be assembled into God's perfect temple, all preordained into the position God has for you. We all have a place. You know, the end of the world as we know it is coming. We are for certain in the latter days or the last days that the scriptures speak about. And I want to be ready. Whatever day that trumpet sounds when the Lord is returning and he's calling us up into the air, he's literally gathering those living stones to himself into the air and then assembling them all as God's temple, I want to be ready, and I want to encourage you to be ready as well. Let the Lord do the work in your life that needs to be done so that you too can be fit together, prepared in the quarry wherever you are, and then when that day comes, put together perfectly as the true temple of the Lord. You are a hand-picked by God, living stone, chosen by the Father himself, and you are on God's blueprint to be part of the temple of the Lord. So don't be discouraged if the preparation process, the time in the quarry that you're in, has been painful or difficult. The results will be well worth it. God's preparing you, and we will all be together in that final temple dedication called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And that will be a glorious celebration that exceeds the one where Solomon dedicated his temple with all the pomp and ceremony that we're going to hear about in 1 Kings chapter 8. Just know that God's constructing a new temple and you're part of it. And when that day comes and we're all together in that place of celebration with the Lord, your life will really, truly, finally make sense, and you'll know you've been prepared for the place God has for you. Be encouraged, no matter what you're going through, the end will be worth it. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.